Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I am so happy and grateful to have Heather with us today. Heather Pierce Campbell is a warrior mama, nature lover, and dedicated attorney and legal coach for world-changing entrepreneurs. Based in Seattle, she is a mom to two little wild munchkins and founder of Pierce Law, home to her legal practice and the Legal Website Warrior, an online business that provides legal education and support to information entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, online educators, speakers, and authors around the U.S. and the world. Heather, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jesse. It's so great to connect with you.
Yeah, you know, and this is, we've had such an incredible conversation offline now that I'm really excited to parlay that over to what we're talking about today. And one of the things that we were talking about, it was just the idea of emerging and evolving out of this, especially as business owners and entrepreneurs from the, I think the entrepreneur mindset a lot of times is very me, me, me. And for maybe much of the entrepreneurial ethos has been built around that solo person hacking it out late at night, grinding it out, you know, crushing their competition, you know, sacrificing, living off of potato chips and whatever else it is. And it's very, you know, maybe logged in that Steve Jobs and Bill Gates kind of narrative, right? But you and I were talking about the hope, one of our collective hopes is hoping that that me evolves into the we. Maybe you can go ahead and speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, and you're right. I'm very familiar with the entrepreneurial landscape and particularly solo entrepreneurs. Like you said in my bio, coaches, consultants, online educators and experts, speakers and authors, and people in the information industry who, you know, a lot of times the goal is to build a brand, and often that's a personal brand. And you're right that there's tons of hard work and there's a lot of reasons why historically the me first made sense. You know what I mean? From the standpoint of like needing to create something sustainable as the first priority before being able to expand. Because the thing that I love, I'll tell you what I love about serving entrepreneurs, even the ones in the past, and I think we've all been there, that are me first oriented around building something, you know, about, you know, really based around the person, based around that first, is the people that I serve by and large are mission driven, which means that that's just the first level of business, and getting there then means that they have the runway to grow their business into something that gives back to the world, that supports them in a way and creates enough wealth that that can be shared, that that can be distributed, that they can show up and support causes that they care about and support their communities. And so The interesting part, I think, about this conversation that we're facing now is more about timeline. Rather than doing the me first and the typical growing pathway that looks like this before you get to the larger we, I think that's being condensed. And I think the new conversation needs to be around how can we simultaneously do something that's good for ourselves as a, you know, a personal business or a personal brand business and good for the collective we at the same time. Like, how can that happen together at the same time and in the same space and in the same time frame? I feel like a lot of people are still having the conversation of how do I survive this period so that once we come out the other side, I can go back to the same way of building my business. You know what I mean? Yes. I can turn those funnels back on, or I can re-engage with the same marketing tactics that I know. And I just think that's the wrong conversation.
Yeah. What do you think needs to shift in that for entrepreneurs?
I think a couple things. I think fear is a primary driver. We were talking a bit about fear, and definitely, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear for people around finances right now, right? Understandably. I mean, it's a huge part of the conversation. And so I think fear and trust go hand in hand, and sometimes they're the opposite side of the same coin, right? I think that we need to trust in the greater good, and we need to trust that by building a business that is better for the we, that it will also be better for the me. But I also think the thing that drastically has to shift is the way that we're having conversations, and that everybody has to own their voice. I mean, the interesting opportunity that we have right now, because I serve folks who are primarily in the online space, right? Although I have experience like supporting in the traditional legal world, brick and mortar, a lot of traditional businesses, what I do in the online, like my legal website warrior side of my business, is really supporting information entrepreneurs, right? They have to be online. And there's a lot of people who've been wanting to move online or wanting to go online in a bigger way. Now that's all you can do,
yeah.
Right? So it is an opportunity, and we have some challenges because people are financially challenged, you know, in many, many ways. But I think that we have to trust in other people. I think we have to show up and ask for what we need. I think we have to look for opportunities that we haven't looked for before, including ways to help finance our businesses in the meantime that keep our lives afloat, right? So people who've never considered business loans or personal loans or line of, like, now is the time to be doing that if that will give you peace of mind to show up more creatively in your business, to show up in a way that you can continue to serve. So I think we have to be really creative about recognizing that there are resources out there. There's still money flowing. There's still plenty of people that are able to pay for services. Not everybody, but plenty of people are. So we need to not be like foreclosing ourselves from having a portion of the conversation that we should be having, which is that we're all here to serve in some way. And no service right now is irrelevant for the most part. People still need health support. They still need legal support. They still need fundamental business support. They still need marketing support, right? So nobody should first of all count themselves as irrelevant. I think we need to get really creative about the way that we allocate our resources and reallocate resources, meaning like I've been trying to look in my own business and life about like how can I take resources that I might normally have put into like joint venture partnerships or something and reallocate them so that they go back into my local community for people that just need housing and food. Mm-hmm. How can I, you know, think about the financial resources that I might have available that I haven't otherwise called on, like loans or lines of credit, that I could call on to do certain things in my life, including contributing to the greater good. Even for people, for example, that would qualify through their business for like the, the PPE loan, and I'm not like super knowledgeable on all the funding that's happening, but I plan to learn a few things because folks need to be applying for the loans and the disaster relief that's coming from the government right now. But I've seen some really interesting threads about businesses who do qualify but don't need it, applying and getting those loans. And let's be clear that even a solo entrepreneur, most solos could apply for those loans right now. You don't have to like have other employees to be able to apply. But if you get it and you don't need it, making that funding available to somebody who does. Right? So people are being very creative about how they're calling in resources and then reallocating them for the greater we. And I just think we have a big challenge in front of us. So we have to be more creative than we've ever been about how we access and utilize resources.
How important do you think it is, Heather, I heard you say the word earlier, and I want to circle back to it, mission. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get into because they have in their head an idea of a mission. And I think that there's two sides of the coin, right? The beautiful opportunity of online businesses is that it affords us the ability to be online and the access to people from all over the world that brings. The detriment to it is I think there's a lot of people who have rushed online and who are maybe moonlighting, and in that they're not really mission centered, or the mission is very much a me versus a we, or the mission is to satisfy a stepping stone. I need to do this so I can get connected to this person, so I can get connected to this person, so I can have this car, I can have this, you know, the entrepreneur taking the screenshot with them from the Lamborghini and the $10,000 in cash and stuff like that. Which we know most of those are just mock-ups anyways, right? I have a funny story I'll tell you about that actually afterwards. But I'm wondering, how important do you think the mission is going to be in bringing people together and that mission evolving from a me to a we? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, do we need to have on the entrepreneurial space, do we need to have a core rallying piece like that? Something, a solid foundation, and one that's not necessarily just conceived by upper management or leadership, mm-hmm. but one that's conceived in the very fabric of the organization, every single person that's involved in it.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's funny because my husband teases me anytime I'm reading a book, it's either on self-development or business. Right. And he's like, read something fun for once. And I'm like, this is fun. Right. So if you study any of the greats on business, right. So many leaders in business say, like, if your business is about making a buck and that's it, like, good luck. You know, it has to be attached to a mission that is bigger than you. It has, because the journey of business, and I'm somebody who, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual in the sense that I believe, whether we know it or not, we're all having spiritual experiences in our lives. But I think the business journey is fundamentally one and the same with the self-development and spiritual journey. You can call it whatever you want, but it's the personal growth and the growth of the individual. And so much of what we're talking about even now, moving this conversation from me to we, is about that growth. Mm. And if we are not committed to something larger than ourselves, the blocks and the hurdles in business are so challenging. Like, you're just not going to make it, you know, for the most part. I mean, there are a few percentage that have an evil mission or whatever, and they're going to somehow make that work. But for the most part, I think it is the mission that keeps you going and that gets you over some of those large hurdles and those large blocks. And, you know, I think now more than ever, connecting to that mission is also going to be the best way to connect to our own individual version of what is the path through, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what I'm here to do in the way that I know that, or in the way that I can explore that. So nobody can tell me how to show up in my business and be in my business in the way that is best going to serve the people that I'm here to serve. Like, that's something that I have to sort out, right? And the only way we're going to be able to do that well in the midst of crisis is to be so, so connected to our purpose, so connected to our missions, so connected to our knowing of what we're here to do, that we can see the path, that we can create the path, and that we can show up in creative ways that we need to.
I feel like that's the one thing that, right, can compel people through fear, is that, right?
Yeah, you can't have hope or curiosity at the same time that you're experiencing fear. Like, right? You're either in one of those places or the other. And so hope is really, really powerful. Having like an attachment to mission and a reconnection to purpose, I think, you know, gets you out of fear. It's a huge way to get out of fear. And I think also the recognition that, I mean, not that we're all in the same boat, we all have different struggles and we all have, you know, different resources available to us, but we are all, I think, being faced with the same challenge of, like, how do we think about things differently?
Yeah.
How do we think about those resources differently, right? So we might be having different challenges on different scales, but very much a similar experience where everybody is feeling impacted by this.
Heather, your clients that you see, and I don't know if this is the right phrasing, but for lack of better phrasing, your clients that you see are doing well during this time, that they're navigating through this successfully, whatever that is. What are some things that you're noticing that they're doing compared to ones that are struggling a little bit more?
Absolutely. So one is a lot of mindset work. They're not making assumptions, meaning they're not drawing conclusions that they don't know to be true. So for example, the assumption that, well, things have just shifted. Nobody can afford my services right now, right? So I shouldn't be selling. And we can have a totally separate, different conversation around selling, right? In my mind, like, you're serving, you're not selling. Nobody needs to be sold. People need relationship. They need connection. They need support, you know, and you can do that in ways that will also continue, allow you to continue to sell, even though, you know, people give that word a bad rap. You're serving. So the people that, you know, they're not making, the people that are still being successful are not making assumptions that nobody can buy, that everybody's impacted in the same way. Mm. Right. And the other thing that they're doing well, and I would say better than others, is they're picking up the phone. They are connecting one-on-one to another person consistently. They are having conversations about how can I serve, how can I support, what do you need? And they're continuing to build relationships in the way that is always going to drive business.
Yeah, what is the expression? We either buy ourselves into, we're always buying something. We're either buying ourselves into an opportunity or we're buying ourselves out of one by buying the, you know, whatever it is instead.
Yeah.
Those ones that are, you know, that mindset piece is such a near and dear to my heart because it goes back to kind of what we were talking about beforehand. I think that you're going to start to see these untangible skills like mindset, heart set, belief systems become more necessary than ever before. It's easy to coast through when the economy is really good, right? And just you can literally go on autopilot with that. But now when the chips are down, lots of backs are going to be in the wall. I think the things that are going to separate, and knowing too that, especially for entrepreneurs, your competition has lived so probably like over leveraged what they have available for so long to portray an image maybe, or to do more than they should or expand faster than they should have, assuming this good economy is going to be here. So there's lots of rocky waters, which leads to lots of opportunities with that. Mm-hmm. How critical is the mindset piece though for that? Do you feel like that's going to be one of the defining things that gets the people to make it through? But then also with it too, like how does mindset tie into the we? Is we a mindset?
Good questions. So to your first, I think mindset is absolutely critical. I think just like any story, I mean, you pick up any book about hard knocks, right? Somebody having experienced something really rough and what makes them a standout, and two people that come from very similar circumstances, and what will make one a standout and the other a failure is mindset. Yeah. That is the only, like in many cases, that is the only difference is the way that somebody approached their life. And so I think mindset is absolutely essential. I think you're right. This period is going to require that people figure that out in a hurry or suffer even, you know, more challenging consequences than they maybe could have. And the mindset piece about the we is the way through in a way that's sustainable. The we is the ability to say, so for example, even in my own business, like the questions I'm asking is like, how do I serve people in the way that they need it and do it in a way that increases connection? So for me, it does two things. One, it fulfills my desire to connect with people because I need that and I thrive on that in my own work. But two, it continues the conversation, continues to build relationships, and also allows me to, like, I feel like right now is a really big period of experimentation. Like, do people need this? Let's try it. Do people need this? Let's try it. Right? And so people need to be, I think, more flexible in how they experiment, but in having the conversation of what do people need? How can I show up and serve them in that way, even if I haven't done it before? And do it in a way that's better for everybody, makes it easy for them to engage with you and engage in your services, even if it's just the front end of getting educated on something. Because the needs are not going to go away.
Yeah.
Right? We have to meet them in a different way. And see, and I come from the traditional legal industry, which you want to talk about a traditional industry that is slow to move and slow to respond to market need, right? And it's facing, like, there are some major disruptions happening in the legal industry because it's been slow to respond. Like, truthfully, this current crisis is one more opportunity for us to practice the fact that it is a changing landscape and that the businesses who survive are the most responsive. They're the most flexible. They're the most responsive. They're willing to shift to respond to the marketplace and not just stay, you know, hunkered down doing the same old thing, you know, day in and day out. I heard somebody the other day that I admire, but I strongly disagree with on this point, say like, oh yeah, if you had a marketing funnel that was working, just hit pause on that. It'll be working again at some point, you know? Mm-hmm. And And I'm not so sure. And I don't think that that's the right strategy. I think we have to have a whole different kind of conversation, because what we're facing right now is unprecedented. And like the conversation you and I were having about the actual impact to people and businesses, like the thing that is, that's also really important about everybody having the we conversation out loud, is for that to be effective, we all need to be having it. It doesn't help if only a couple people have the we conversation.
That's so true.
Right? It's yeah. It's like we have to see ourselves as this connected network. And, you know, yes, every voice counts, especially every voice having the we conversation counts. But like, we need to enroll other people in that conversation. We need to be calling on everybody to be a leader in their business and to come from the standpoint of we, so that, I mean, it's the same thing. A rising tide lifts all boats, right? I mean, a few lighthouses are helpful, but we need everybody having the right conversation.
Heather, I have so much more I want to talk to you about, and I know in the interest of time.
And I already feel like I've spoken too much, so no, I apologize for that. There's not.
I want to ask one other quick question before we wrap up. What drives you?
So what drives me in my, especially this legal website warrior business? I mean, legal business, yes, generally, and for sure the most recent route of building the second business to support information entrepreneurs, because the traditional legal market doesn't support them in the way that they need it. So that's what drove me to start my second business, is to meet the legal needs of entrepreneurs, specifically mission-driven entrepreneurs, so that through legal support, they have better functioning businesses. They are making more strategic decisions. They're more successful in the world. They can create resources that support family, that support community, that allow them to give back to causes in the world. I mean, the thing that drives me is to be a significant part of that rising tide, lifting all boats. Like I want, and I also, which I said to you, I think maybe offline before we jumped on this call, but like entrepreneurship, in my mind, entrepreneurship is the path to creating like real lasting change for the better in the world. Like it is the path. And so the people that are in this space, I just think we have a massive opportunity, especially collectively, if we are having the right conversation, to just create like fundamental change in the way that the entire system works. So that's what drives me.
Everyone, you're going to want to rewatch, whether you are currently in business, you're serving as an entrepreneur or a leader, or you're considering to go into business for a first time. I think especially for first-time business owners, if you can really embrace this we versus me concept, because the very notion of starting your own business, it seems to be very me, me, me. But if you can put the we first, like Heather said, I think it's going to evolve you and set you up much more to be not just successful, but fulfilled on the process of it. I love what you reminded, the rising tide lifts all boats, because we may face some shallow tides initially. And just because it's a little rockier, it doesn't mean the journey to those better tides can't be enjoyable. It can't be fulfilling. You look at many successful people and the narrative is often very much the same. They will say how much they relish the early days when it was so hard, because there was a certain camaraderie that came during that time that sometimes eclipses as we have to strike more while the iron's hot, or pursue the profits when they're there, or, you know, scale at a more rapid rate and all those types of things. You know, Heather and I were talking a little bit offline about the emotional currency and how powerful that is. And I love what she was saying about the ones who are, of her clients who are standing out or reaching out, they're connecting more, they're having those conversations. And maybe a key takeaway and an action item for each of you is to make a quick list of the five people you could reach out and connect with today. Not for any reason to sell them on anything or to do that, while that's so good, but just to make the connection. Find out how you can serve. Find out how you can help. And if you come and lead that with the we intention, the open heart, you just might find that there's a little bit more magic to be made today in your business than you would have thought of otherwise. Heather, this was such an amazing conversation, far too short. And I hope we can do more of this again in the near future. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your passion, your drive, and your amazing insight and perspective on the state of entrepreneurial business and what we can accomplish together.
Oh, I appreciate you, Jesse. Thank you for hosting this conversation. thank you for showing up the way that you're showing up. I mean, I love anybody who's using their platform to further the right conversation. So I so appreciate you. I'm so glad that we connected.
Yeah, me too. We'll see everybody next time of another edition of A Handful of Hope. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to podcasts.